During the weeks of quarantine, I would still come over here to hear confessions, and sometimes I would run up to Kroger's or Walgreens to pick up something, and whether it was in a confessional or maybe out in the crowd, people would say, "You know, Father, I miss going to Mass. I miss being able to receive Holy Communion." And that was very touching for me. You know, I celebrated Mass every day and received Our Lord every day, and so it was just a part of my daily routine. Nothing had stopped me. But for many parishioners and many devout Catholics, that came to a halt on the second Sunday of Lent. And it is a good reminder for me, too, because over the last probably a decade or so, the numbers of attendance at Sunday Mass declined. And even among us Catholics, there has been a declining of belief that our Lord is truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so to hear somebody say, "I really miss going to Mass, I really miss receiving Holy Communion," it was nice to hear. Over the past few years, there's always been changes going on in church and in our culture, some for the good, some for the bad. And I think every moment of these times come along, it's a test or a crossroad. In the first reading today, Moses is explaining to the Israelites before they enter into the Promised Land, reviewing their life with the Lord and how they respond to what God had been doing for them. And every time it came to a challenge, every time there came to be a test, they didn't come to say, "Well, you know, the Lord took care of me at this point. The Lord got us through the Red Sea on dry land, even though it fell back on top of the Egyptians. The Lord fed me with manna from heaven." They would always complain, "Oh, if only this were different. If only we were back in Egypt. If only. Why did God do this to us?" To the point that when it came time to enter into the Promised Land, the people who left Egypt that night of the Exodus, including Moses and Aaron, never got to go into the Promised Land. Their faith was too weak. And God was beginning a whole new generation of people when they enter into the Promised Land. Only two people from left Egypt that night entered in, Phinehas and Joshua. The only two who kept faith to God. Everybody else doubted or complained or fell away. And so God was beginning something new so that they could have that life of faith and devotion and love and obedience to God each and every day. The other people had given up on God. But this new group, it's a new beginning. Jesus, in our gospel today, presents himself as the true bread from heaven, that unless we eat his bread, flesh, and drink his blood, we will not have life within us. We will not have eternal life for all time. Interesting, if we were to continue to read this sixth chapter of John, we hear a little bit that the people complained, "How can this happen?" And Jesus is giving us his word. Now, everybody who had been there had heard of Jesus before this moment in their lives. They have heard of his preaching. They heard of the miracles done, the healings, the expulsion of demons. So it wasn't just like, "Oh, I wonder who this guy is." They knew who he was, knew what he had done. And they're questioning, wait, no, this can't happen. And if we were to go further in John's chapter, we would see how people left Jesus and said, "No, this is too difficult." It was their crossroads. It was their test, and they gave up, and they walked away. And Jesus says to the apostles, "Are you going to leave me too?" And they go, "No. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Their test came, and they were faithful to it. It's always in those moments when we do find ourselves being tested is to be able to say, "Who am I going to be at this moment? What do I want to believe? Who am I going to put my faith and trust in?" And we come to the Eucharist. We come to Christ. This is the heart of who we are as Catholic Christian believers. It is the heart of who we are. This makes sense here. Even though our senses cannot always understand it, we know Christ promised that "I am with you always to the end of the age." He tells us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And at the Last Supper, he shows us how to do that by changing bread and wine into his own body and blood so that we would have that food to eat, that drink to have quenched our thirst, his presence dwelling among us always. So when we face those tests in our own days, when we have those challenges in our own times, we can say, the Lord is here. The Lord is with me. I know I can go through anything with his presence. And to come to Mass, come to the Eucharist, to see his presence, to see the host lifted up, I know Christ is here with me. Over these last several months since the quarantine began, we have seen and experienced a lot of things, too many. And my sisters remind me, as they say, David, it's only June. We have 6 more months. In the midst of all the challenges and the crises and the things we see in our television, in our cities, in our streets, of our neighborhoods, this could be our test. This is our crossroads. Who are we going to be? Who do we want to become? Who do we put our hope and faith in? And many may say, well, where is God in all of this? Why isn't God doing anything about this? It's not about God. God is always here. God has shown us and told us how to live out our lives. Jesus says, the 2 great commandments, love God above all things, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the summation of the 10 commandments. We can write as many laws as we want, but they all have to come from that, the love of God and the love of our neighbor. And if we exclude God from our lives, if we exclude God from everything about us and who we are as a nation, as a church, as a world, we're going to have chaos. Chaos in our lives, chaos in our country, chaos in the church. If we forget who we are and what we're about, nothing will matter. Jesus has already shown us how to live out our lives and how we are to treat people. If we don't appreciate the unborn, then why do you think we would not appreciate the born of any race, of any nationality, of any language? If we can't appreciate and respect life at its origins, why would we think anybody would care about anything else? If we have excluded God from our lives, if we ignore the Mass, if we ignore the Eucharist, how can we think that God's just going to come in and drop something in our laps to make everything better when we've told him constantly, Lord, we don't want you. We don't need you. This is the test for us. This is the crossroads for us. And his here at the altar is where it all makes sense for us and who we are and who we want to be. And so maybe today as we celebrate this great feast of the body and blood of our Lord, maybe this is a time for us to be able to renew ourselves in the presence of the Eucharist, in the presence of Christ himself, to be able to make that bold proclamation that, yes, Lord, I truly believe you are here. When you are lifted up in the host and the chalice, you are here. Not a nice reminder, not a nice symbol. You are here, body, blood, soul, and divinity. You are here. And I'm placing my hope and trust in you that in the times when I am tested, when I am challenged, when I face the crossroads of my life, I know you will see me through it. Not that we're going to be excused from anything, the hardships of life, but because Christ faced hardships, I can face those hardships because the Eucharist, the bread of life, is constantly nourishing me to make me who I am and who I should be. So if we're hungering for peace and justice, if we're hungering for knowledge and wisdom, if we're hungering for integrity and honesty, if we're hungering for love and in a spirit of Christian discipleship, come to the Lord. Come to the Eucharist. Lord, satisfy my greatest hungers. You are the only one. You are the one who makes me who I am and who I'm called to be.